The 2013 Oscars paid tribute to music and cinema by bringing together actors from three Oscar-winning musicals of the last decade: Chicago, Dreamgirls, and Les Miserables. Was this the Oscars or the Tonys? All the fabulous divas made an appearance: Barbara Streisand, Shirley Bassey, Adele, and Jennifer Hudson, prompting many to call it the gayest Oscars ever.
But if you Google the phrase, gayest Oscars ever, you'll find that every year the Academy Awards is called that by somebody, and really should come out of the closet already. Joining us today is comedian Rob Anderson to take a look at all the closeted celebrities at this year's Oscars.
Moms are the new beard.
Russell Crowe can't sing on key.
Adele and Melissa McCarthy are the same person.
And forget about getting on the best or worst dressed list. Celebrities now worry if their fashion choices will go viral.
Plus, the four people who ate the penis of performance artist Mao Sugiyama will not be facing any charges.
The UK's first cat cafe is set to open in London, where patrons can play with the pussies.
And a go-go boy comes to the rescue when an axe-wielding maniac terrorizes a gay bar in Arizona. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Yes, it's me, Ben Affleck, accepting my award for Best Picture, Argo. Welcome to the Oscars 2013. I'm Fausto Fernos, joined by my delicious life partner, Mark Fillion.
Hello, everyone.
Mark, I wouldn't want to do any show without anybody else because you're the partner, and we do fart things what the partners do.
You're going crazy, honey. You're going crazy.
I'm just channeling Ben Affleck realness.
Oh, that's what I meant to
say. Argo realness.
That's what Jennifer Garner was thinking in her head. He's gone nuts.
And we have the Jennifer Lopez of stand-up comedy here, Rob Anderson.
Oh, you know me so well. It's good to be here.
The J-Lo of stand-up.
The J-Lo of stand-up.
Let's see that booty.
I'm wearing my green dress.
Work it, baby. Looking good.
Robbie from the block.
So we just stood up late tonight watching the Oscars, and it feels just like it, you know, are we getting older, or does the Oscars feel more and more lamer each year as it goes by?
I think that you're getting older.
Cause you
well,
came over
definitely
here.
Getting older, but it also, yeah. they do get, I don't know. They come and go. Like Seth MacFarlane wasn't so bad, but they always make so many jokes about how long the, I mean, if they just removed all the jokes about how long the Oscars are, they'd shave off like 20 minutes.
You know? Tweet that one.
I will.
Hashtag Feast of Fun.
And I feel like every year they're trying to figure out like, what does everyone want? And they're like, you know, people just dancing. We just want people to just dance. And it's like, okay, this happened. Just wait. This is just too long.
Is this the Tonys or the Oscars?
Yeah, come on.
Hello. I mean, it was like, save that song and dance shit for the Tonys.
What was all that whole thing, that whole salute to the musicals? I really could have done. I mean, I love the musical Chicago, and I love Dreamgirls. I could have really done without hearing that tonight.
Yeah, they had their moments their year. Why are they coming back every time a movie musical comes out? I mean, one's going to come out every year. Do we have to bring back all of them every year to do a montage?
I don't think there's anything wrong with doing a theme-based evening awards show. And if you're going to do a salute to movie musicals, then bring in, you know, Julie Andrews, or bring in some...
She doesn't sing anymore.
Yeah, no,
so what? She can still introduce something, you know? And she's a star, and she's, you know, she lives in Los Angeles.
I'm sure. But I had also heard that the people that did the production for this year's Oscars also were the producers for Chicago. And so that's why they carted them all out.
Oh, my God.
So they're just like, we got to sell some more DVDs.
We're going to, yeah.
Get them out there and do it.
So Seth MacFarlane, even though he technically is not a movie star, even though he did the voice for the teddy bear in Ted, right?
I think did he write Ted?
Yeah, he wrote Ted.
So he's technically not a movie star. He's well known for his TV show, The Family Guy, and the Oscars did feel like a long Family Guy episode.
Mm-hmm.
That was not funny. So it was really very much like a Family Guy episode.
I like The Family Guy. I've been watching it on Netflix. I've been getting into it.
Yeah. It's, you know.
Yeah.
South Park is much funnier.
What did you think when he came out and sang with the LA Gay Men's Chorus?
I thought he was coming out of the closet for a second.
I was just like, he is.
But you know, actually, Seth MacFarlane for years have been a very vocal, very aggressive, pro-LGBT rights supporter, mm-hmm. even though he hate them bitches. Because he was also very sexist, too, you know, doing like songs about the women's boobs and stuff. He's trying to be funny. He's trying to do the best thing he could possibly do. He was no funnier or no less interested than Billy Crystal last year. I was looking at my notes from our podcast. I was like, why can't you be Billy Crystal? And I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
I hated Billy Crystal now. But you see him through that lens of time. It was a little odd choice for them to be like, to dust off William Shatner and bring him down.
Weird.
I was just like, what is going on here? I kind of, did you hear like a collective groan when William Shatner showed up? People were like,
there was, that's what I liked, actually.
Yeah.
It was like this like weird, like, is there a heart attack about to happen? Like, I feel like he was about to have a heart attack.
I have my divas. I have people that I adore. And if I were hosting the Oscars, I'd probably like figure a way to get Sharon Needles onto the program herself. But you know, I'm a big Star Trek fan. And if I had the best of all worlds, I would have had Leonard Nimoy host the Oscars, right?
What about George Takei?
Or Takei. George Takei. Yes. That would have been perfect. You know, and be like, well, look at all these handsome men here. Russell Crowe, John Travolta, I'll see you later.
You sound like Stewie from Family Guy.
Well, technically,
and
they
did. Gay.
Yeah, so technically you had
kind
George
of the same.
Takei. Yeah, so it's about the same thing.
It's not something of the same.
Yes, lots of gay people. They said, if you Google the phrase, gayest Oscars ever, you'll find blog entries from last year, the year before last, the year before. People love to describe the Oscars as the gayest Oscars ever.
Well, it's like the Super Bowl for gays, they say.
And you know? And I think, you know,
song,
LGBT people
dance,
love the creative arts, and certainly the world's attention is on Hollywood that night, and why not call it the gayest fill in the blank ever?
I mean, there's some years where it's not the gayest, where Lord of the Rings won every award. That was probably the least gay Academy Awards ever.
I feel like Lord of the Rings is also a very homo, you know, it's like the relationship between Frodo and his manservant.
Mary
weather.
Come on. You know, and then you have that
maybe.
Troll chasing him everywhere.
And Sir Ian
precious.
McKellen is the central figure.
Oh, that's true. I mean, he is gay.
Yeah, I mean, openly gay actors and semi-openly gay actors.
So maybe that was the gayest one ever.
I think all of them, you know, the one that I think Hollywood is trying to make up for the fact that Brokeback Mountain lost. And so they're just trying to apologize after all these years later. But they had Queen Latifah, Joe Travolta, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Seth MacFarlane.
People suspect is gay.
Hugh Jackman. Uh-huh. Lots of, you know, actors who are kind of in the closet. The only person
Jeremy
who's
Remmer.
Jeremy Remmer.
And it's Renner.
Renner.
The only person who's actually out as a bisexual person is Channing Tatum.
Is he?
Yeah.
He was in an interview before, like years ago. He doesn't talk about it too much now because he's married, but he did mention that he was bi.
Oh, that's kind of exciting.
He also, like, you know, sometimes he describes some of his relationships with some of his co-stars, and sometimes it sounds like it's very homoerotic. Like that movie where he played, like, that Roman soldier and he was helping out, like, that the native British guy, and they were on the run. What was that called again? I forget. They were chasing, they were looking for, like, the Roman eagle statue. He kind of insinuated that something happened.
Oh
there.
My goodness. That's kind of exciting.
He described his the guy as what is it, Jamie Bell? Is it Jamie Bell who was the Billy Elliot all grown up?
Oh yeah, yeah.
He's like, he described him as a real goer. He goes, I don't know what that means, but it seems appropriate.
Didn't he like have a hard feelings, like they fell in love and then they like broke up with his co-star on Magic Mike? And that's why he wouldn't do like the press interviews?
No.
Yeah. I think that like they
with Alex Pettifer?
Alex Pettifer.
Oh, he just said he was a douchebag or something like that.
Is he gay too?
Look at him. I don't know, but he says he's like, right now they say he's like 21 or something. When he hit the scene, he was like 20. I'm like, God, he looks like he's 27
or
something.
Is Channing Tatum, is that the reason why his face is so swollen? All that crying from all these boys? Because his face just gets progressively more swollen.
It's weird though, isn't it? Because sometimes
he's swole, all right.
I wonder if he has like some kind of medical condition or something, because like there's some days where he looks really bloated.
Yeah.
And then there's other days where he just looks normal and fine.
Like, stop eating shellfish.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. That's what it looks like.
Maybe it's rank pussy. Who knows? I just say it. I don't know. Maybe it's a salty diet or something.
Did you like the tribute to all the musicals, all the stuff? I can never get enough of Shirley Bassey singing.
Oh, yeah. That was
Finger.
Great.
Certainly Jennifer Hudson singing. And I'm Telling You I'm Not Going from Dreamgirls. And Barbara Streisand, you know, being Barbara Streisand.
Singing Memories. I feel bad for Barbara. She had such a stellar voice when she was young, and now she's sounding a little bit like Mae West now. Singing like,
Babs
Memories
is the new West.
In the corner
Mae West.
Of my mind.
Memories.
But she's
on the corner 60 of my mind.
Some years, 67
yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah,
so it's hard to keep your voice as you age.
I mean, Shirley Bassey is older than her, and she killed it. So
black don't crack, though, honey.
Oh yeah, that's,
you know.
Well, I guess
it's also a different style, maybe too.
Different style. Barbara Streisand probably tore the fuck out of herself, like just singing all the time. And I mean, that's probably not the case with Shirley Bassey. Mm-hmm. Like, is she doing world tours and stuff? Probably not.
Shirley Bassey really sung those notes, and it's really hard. I know, because, you know, as I get older, my voice isn't the pearly paradigm.
Your voice is deepened from when I first met you.
Oh, yeah. If you listen to the, even if you listen to, like, podcasts from 2008 or 2007, 2006, I'm like, welcome to the Feast of Fun podcast.
Now I've got this mannish voice here.
You know, Russell Crowe singing along with the cast of Les Miserables. Did I pronounce that correct, Mark?
Les Miserables.
Les Miserables. I'm trying to do it better than John Travolta did.
Yeah, because he mispronounced it.
He mispronounced it. He butchered it. But Russell Crowe, when he came out on stage, and everybody was tweeting on this, so I'm not alone, he didn't sing on key or on the beats.
Well, it just goes right in line with his performance in the film. I mean, he ruined it. He just can't sing. Terrible casting. So I actually would have been upset if he actually sang on, you know,
How the hell did he even get that part? Did they listen to him sing before? Because he was actually, he started out in a rock band in Australia.
No.
Yeah, he was like in an 80s kind of band. Same with like Gervais, Ricky Gervais. They were both kind of like these 80 pop, they had like one hit songs or something. I don't even know if it was a hit at all.
Ricky Gervais, this will blow your mind, was a teen heartthrob pop star in the UK.
I don't know if he went very far, but he did make a video. There is a video, a music video out there, and the same with
and no celebrity has ever made fun of him for doing that, even though he makes fun of all these celebrities. You know, listen, celebrities out there, you pissed off at somebody, give us a call. We know the shit, okay? Russell Crowe cannot sing on the beats. I think it's part of it is because he was wearing his uniform. It was too tight, you know? So I don't know.
Too bad there wasn't a bridge and a dam he could jump off of.
Do you think Anne Hathaway deserved Best Actress? She was obviously going to win it. But
no, I think this
supporting
is
actress.
But people are really torn on her. And I think that everyone kind of liked her. And then this year, with all of these awards, she's really just sort of been a really weird person. Her speeches don't hit. They're like awkward. That's like that really awkward girl that's trying to make a joke and then laughs at herself and looks down and like bites her lip. It's just like really weird. And even this speech, I mean, she was just so corporate. She was like, I'd like to thank so-and-so in association with this and special contributions from my mother and father. Like, she was just so, there was nothing personal about it. And she was like, oh, a dream came true tonight. Like, come on. Get
well,
real.
What are you supposed to say at those kinds of things?
I don't,
you know,
Daniel memorable. Day-Lewis says awesome stuff about how he loves his wife. And I don't know. They just, it that, means
the,
something to
the
them.
The joke that he made with Meryl Streep about how, like, I was going to play Margaret Thatcher. You kind of look at him. He looks a little bit like Margaret Thatcher.
Oh, he could probably do it. He's a chameleon, a fucking chameleon.
Here's a question I want to ask all our listeners. Since we've been in that situation where we actually won an award for what we are passionate about, and we had the blessing and the opportunity to stand on a stage in front of lots of people and say what's in our hearts. If you actually won an award for, I don't know, what is it that you do at work? If you're a, you know, a security systems analyst and you won the Oscar for the Security System Analyst of the Year award, what would you say about your life, about your job? I mean, about what you're passionate about.
Yeah, well, give us your Oscar speech right now. Here, Rob, here's your fucking Oscar.
So I would get an Oscar for, I work in advertising and marketing, or would it be more towards like,
your passion.
Let's say your show that you have coming up, your gay camp, ex-gay
camp. So if
camp,
I were to win,
wins the
one, a Jeff Award
for Best Non-Union LGBT Original Musical.
Just for being awesome.
I don't know what I would say. I would,
see, and there you sit criticizing Anne Hathaway.
Well, you know what? Once I'm nominated for an award, that's when I would figure it out.
Okay.
Okay. And here, I'm going to embarrass you, Mark.
What?
Do you remember what we said when we won the first People's Choice Podcast Award in 2006?
Well, we definitely thanked all the listeners and all the people that voted for us, and we couldn't do it without their support. And I think you, and then you got up there and you told people that they should come out of the closet, and then you pointed at some priest.
No, that's technically almost what happened. We said, we are so blown away by the fact that the internet can transform people's lives and bring communities together. And if two gay men can do a talk show that gets the world's attention, anything is possible. So you do not need to be in the closet anymore to chase your dreams and make them come true. And that goes for you. And I started pointing to people in the audience.
No, you didn't.
And Father Roderick, who also won the award for best religious podcast, was standing really close to me. And I said, and you too, Father. And then I grabbed Mark and I gave him a big kiss on the lips. And I was, and then it was like, you know, all the gay blogs were like, same-sex kiss at an awards show. Oh my God.
Well, see, that's great. And
do you
it's
have
like,
to plan this shit out, Anne Hathaway?
She did fucking plan it out. I mean, that was so planned out and prepared. It wasn't anything that she wasn't like, oh, it's great to make an, get an award for something I love, or like make a point about something. Like, it was just, I don't care for her. You know what? I think she's that musical theater girl in high school that somehow got famous and is still nerdy and weird and just thinks she's sort of cool and it's like, oh, get out of here.
Okay, that is her.
Yeah, oh,
that is
yeah, her. For sure. She's the
why poor, did you like her, though? Come on.
I, you know, like I've liked her in roles where she's like a nerd, like Princess Diaries. Like, that's perfect, you know, like where she happens to get kind of pretty and like, oh, people like her.
So a worn out whore, you don't like her as a worn out whore.
She did a fine performance, but I just her as a person just drives me nuts.
Anne Hathaway's hair deserves its own award. Don't you think? I mean, the fact that she actually also kind of had the same haircut she sported in the movie, I thought that was awesome.
But she, every moment she gets, she talks about how she had to shave her head. She's like, oh, I shaved my head, you know, oh, look at my... I feel like she just totally promotes herself with that, you know, the risks she takes. Get out of here.
Oh, last night, I tucked and went out to a club and I started crying because my nuts and dick hurt so much. I felt your pain, Anne Hathaway.
I know.
You know, what about that other guy who was like thanking all the other actors? I can't remember. It was the winner for best actor or best supporting actor who was thanking all the other actors in the category.
And saying, you guys are good too.
You guys are good too.
That's a big thing now. They like to thank everybody. I mean, it fills up your time for your speech. You know?
Well, and really, if you're thanking those heads of the studio, are they even watching? Are they?
Of course they're watching. Yeah. Everybody watches the Oscars.
Well, then maybe, you know, it does pay to kiss some ass.
A billion. What do you say? A billion people watch it.
But do the rich heads of studio win? Because it bothers me when I notice.
Let's see. Would rich people that own movie studios be interested in awards for movies? Let's think about that.
That will help the sales of their DVDs insanely.
Maybe they might be like getting, you know.
Maybe they'll
get
a report.
Yeah, they might get a report.
Or maybe they're
at
fancy parties and tuxedos sipping champagne and caviars and what.
Because I hate the fact that, like, you know, the Twitter and the internet and all the bloggers who most Americans are living near poverty levels here.
That's
right now.
That's not true.
We're actually in a lot. What was it? Like 50% of Americans don't have enough savings to deal with losing their jobs and are like living in pretty awful conditions. And they're all tweeting.
That's not poverty.
Well, near poverty.
That's like month to month.
They're living, literally, like, at the edge. No. Anyways, you're mincing words here. The point is that they're all like, these celebrities got robbed. And I'm like, they're millionaires. They're not technically being robbed. They just didn't get an award. They'll go home. They'll deal with their fancy maids and
it's
butlers.
It's called hyperbole, Fausto.
Well, and you're just attacking me for saying the hyperbole 4 seconds ago.
I mean, within the context, sure they got robbed. I mean, you're already nominated. The worst that can happen is not win, and that's what happens. So
yeah, because I was Team Hush Puppy, and she could not win. So.
She was she barely got nominated by the skin of her little teeth.
Well, she's got lots of chances to get nominated again. We'll see, you know? I mean,
oh, and I mean, that starts your career. Jennifer Lawrence got nominated for Winter's Bone, and then all of a sudden was in all these commercial movies, and then got this, you know, this role. So getting nominated, being
she
young.
She was adorable, too. She looked fantastic, and when she went up to get her award, she tripped. Aww. I was excited to see her trip. Like, yay!
She's so real. I feel like she's a real girl.
I think, you know, getting an Oscar nomination is very good thing for an actress. Look how good it was for Gabori Sidibe.
Yeah, it's true. She did get some work after that.
Oh, she sure did.
She was in that heist movie that got panned.
Yeah, see?
I think someone did a rap and mentioned her in a rap somewhere.
Gabori
Sidibe. Some R&B artist. So
best
she's
name.
Really making it.
What's the name of the Hush Puppy? The actress
we've been trying.
Quetzalcoatl.
That's good enough.
I don't know. But
Sally Field in the audience with her gay son. Wasn't that adorable?
It was adorable. And I guess the reason why we know she was gay is because she got an award. I think it was from HRC or GLAAD Award or something recently. He was gay. Because Sally got an award and he presented her with the award and talked about what it was like to be the gay son of Sally Fields.
It's amazing. Yeah. I would love to be the gay son of Sally Field.
Well, everybody was on the internet going, Sally Field got robbed. Anne Hathaway Awards belong to Sally Field. Do you guys feel like she got robbed?
I don't think that Sally Fields got robbed. She did an excellent performance. I think she was fantastic as Mary Todd Lincoln. But it was like, it was just, you know, it was okay. Whereas I feel like Anne Hathaway was much more emotional.
What happened for Anne Hathaway was that shot was just so tight on her when she was singing that. You could see the shit up her nose. Like, it was so raw and great that it was just perfect. And Lincoln was, you know, it was fine. And she was maybe a little melodramatic, in my opinion. But, I mean, she was second down the list to get that award. But it was definitely Anne Hathaway's year, if you talk about, like, the precursors and all the other awards that were won. So it wasn't shocking.
Yeah, and I wonder, too, if Hollywood thinks about it as, like, the music industry does. Because I think you see this with the Grammys a lot. They always have, like, especially with this Taylor Swift, is you get somebody when they're really young and give them all these awards because you're making an investment in this actor's career for the longevity. And let's face it, I mean, you know, Anne Hathaway's career is probably going to be much longer than Sally Fields, because Sally Fields is like 60-some years old now. So there's probably not going to be a whole lot more roles for her out there.
I feel like Russell Crowe got robbed.
Where was his nomination?
Yeah, I got that. And Tyler Perry.
I'm really kind of surprised that Russell Crowe even showed up.
You know, he should be so embarrassed for himself.
Uh-huh. I bet you that was probably part of the contract or something that he had to do it.
When the movie came out, I'm so proud to be in this cast of actors, because I think he thought he was maybe okay in the movie. And then he saw it and he was like, oh my fucking God, like, I am horrendous in this movie.
And you know, the thing about it is that had they done it in a studio, he would have the click track or something to sing along to.
Yep.
But I guess all they had was the actual soundtrack, the instruments to sing along to.
Well, they had a guy playing in the back live on a piano, and they had earpieces in to sing with him. So I'm sure they had a couple takes with it, but definitely singing live for someone who's as terrible of a singer as Russell Crowe was not good.
Wait a second. Somebody was singing the songs into his ear?
No, so they had a piano in a separate part of the production area, and every actor had earpieces hidden in that would play. The music would play live as they were singing and go with them. So it was actually a really cool thing. It just didn't work out so well in some parts where people weren't good singers.
And I liked with the Oscars tonight, they had like a full symphony, but it was in a building like down the street. I was
so cool though.
Wasn't that neat? So I wonder,
that every year?
I don't know if they do that every year. I think most of the time it's probably pre-recorded, I would guess. Because if they don't really have an orchestra pit there, what would you do?
Well, it's too bad that Russell Crowe didn't get one of those earpieces for that show. You know? I mean, really the problem was that somebody was piping in Aerosmith into his ear, and not the soundtrack to Les Mis.
Well, and do you think all that stuff was all done live? Like all the music that they did tonight? Or do you think some of it was?
Some was and some wasn't. Definitely Jennifer Hudson was. I don't think that Chicago was at all. Like she didn't even have a mic on her at all.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, the other thing too is I'm blanking out on her name. The Chicago singer,
Jennifer Hudson.
No.
The Catherine Zeta-Jones. Sorry,
you got me confused now. Okay.
She. You know, if you listen to the recording, or you just watch the movie. You know, come on, boys, we're gonna and all that jazz. And then at the Oscars is like, come on, boys.
Also, she had some major work done. I'm like,
she did.
Yeah, she looks a lot different.
The camera didn't really get in on her very close, though, did they?
No, maybe that was a request.
Well, I guess she recently came out.
I have one request. Don't have any tight shots on me.
Okay, you're gonna be on top of the piano. Okay, boys, reinforce it.
Who's picking her up? We need two guys.
Well, it's how many babies later, and it's like Chicago came out when they said 10 years ago, and so she was what, mid-30s then?
Yeah.
And so, you know, she's getting up there. You know,
that hair is looking more and more like a wig every time she puts it on.
Best and worst dress lists don't matter to celebrities anymore. This is what a lot of bloggers are writing about because of last year. Mrs. Brad Pitt, who was Angelina Jolie, was showing her leg in her dress and in every single photo. And so all over the internet, people started photoshopping Angelina Jolie's legs into everything, including Britney Spears' hands as she was like breaking.
<That's>
when she shaved her head, you know, was breaking the umbrella. Car with an umbrella. And so I guess a lot of bloggers this year were on the lookout for viral moments of celebrities taking risks. but I don't really see anybody really taking much of a risk fashion.
Not so much. I mean, I went through some of the photos and looked, and there were some of them that were like a little bit weird. Because if you go to like Huffington Post, they'll have like 90 pictures. So it's a lot of scrolling. And towards the end, you get this Rachel Mwanza. I have no idea who she is, but she's totally giving like Lion King realness, like these African color prints. And it was just kind of a strange dress. It was like maybe something Bob Marley's wife would have worn. I don't know. It was bizarre.
Yeah, I guess you kind of want to do a swan dress rather than like a really nice one. You know, everyone remembers a swan dress.
Mm-hmm. So Rachel Mwanza is in the documentary, War Witch, in the Oscar-nominated film.
Is that, I saw an albino in that. I have to check that out and see if is that about... Because in Africa, sometimes they hunt down albinos.
Yeah, it's really scary.
And then they kill them and like make their flesh into powder and then sell it like it's magic.
Like their legs are really prized, so they'll kill them and hack off albino legs. It's so, so scary.
It's just frightening. Who are these people?
Keep Kristen Stewart away from them.
No.
I was like, got it, zing. Everybody was blogging like, Kristen Stewart's dress is atrocious. She's serving meth addict realness.
She was on crutches.
What is wrong with Kristen Stewart?
I don't know.
She should have been in like, if you're going to go to the Oscars in crutches, you should have gone in a little rascal go-kart, you know?
That would have been
fun. You know,
fun.
They should have just brought her out in a wheelbarrow. That's what I think they should have done. Just carted her out there, propped her up.
Why do people hate Kristen Stewart so much? She won a Razzie Award.
The thing with her, though, she's just kind of stiff and awkward. And she does this weird smile, non-smile. Like, she goes from smile to frown, to, no expression on her face. Like, I don't think she knows what she's feeling, or maybe she doesn't have feelings at all.
I think she's just really shy.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, and I think that's really where it comes down to.
Why would you go into this field? Why would you become an actor if you're super
I think her
shy?
Parents are in the industry, and it just sort of happened for her.
Well, she was the star of that Panic Room, and she never got out of it.
That's true. And I think Jodie probably picked her for that role, or maybe, I don't know if Jodie had a hand in picking it, but she's always kind of reminded me of Jodie Foster in some way. So my guess is that she's just a lesbian, and she's just like, I don't want to be caught looking at women's tits or anything.
I agree with that, except for the acting part of it. I don't think she's nearly close to Jodie Foster as far as acting.
Yeah, Jodie was always fun. Her character, when she was younger, was always fun and dynamic. But I thought it was nice to see Helen Hunt, you know, with clothes on. After you've seen her in the session, you're like, wow, Helen Hunt naked. I was like, real, like Faust and I, when we were watching that, we were like applauding her. We're just like, because I mean, I remember like being a kid and watching her in like after school specials, so I kind of feel like that I've grown up with her, and that she's like brave enough to take off her top and her tits look like they're real.
I remember her in Mad About You.
Well, that's not that
sitcom,
long ago,
you know, and she didn't take her top off in that
show. It's because it's television.
Should have.
And then she was wearing H&M. And so it was like
a blue dress from H&M off the rack.
She must have been paid a ton to be able to have to wear H&M.
Probably.
And then it's also too, it's like, is that really the same dress that's being sold there? Or is it like a copy of something?
Well, speaking of somebody who loves to dress up in J. Crew and H&M is Michelle Obama, the first lady who surprise.
That
she introduced the winner of Best Picture.
And that was kind of like amazing. I was just like, what? I was kind of surprised that she came out there. And I was like, oh, it's nice. She's giving kind of a speech. Because, you know, when you think about it, one of America's greatest contributions to the world is Hollywood. I mean, we create so much, and it's such a great business for the state of California and for the nation, that it's great that she did that. And then I thought, you know, then she passed the baton back to what's
Seth
his name?
MacFarlane.
Jack
Nicholson. That, okay. Like, that was it. But then she actually announced it, and I was just like, holy cow.
You know,
it was
really live. I have to commend her. I feel like first ladies usually aren't in the media that much, and she's really capitalizing on being in entertainment, on The Biggest Loser, on like late night shows, and she's really bringing her stuff out to entertainment things, which is one of the first times that's happened in a while. Like, when was Laura Bush like on The View talking about things
that
are
interesting? She has been on The View.
Oh, has she? I guess that was a terrible example.
Sandra Bernhardt was always saying that she hid. Basically, she was hiding, and that she was drinking margaritas and taking pills somewhere.
And crashing her car and killing people.
Yeah.
I said it.
That's true. Well, she did kill one person.
Yeah.
Director Ang Lee for Life of Pi.
Beautiful movie.
People are saying Steven Spielberg got robbed.
Oh, please.
And that Hollywood just is holding a grudge against them for Jaws.
Really?
I guess because he was like, kind of like, when he was a young upstart director, he was just like burning a lot of bridges. And a lot of the people that vote for the films now, they're like, Spielberg? No way.
Okay, get real, because he won for Schindler's List, and that was clearly after Jaws. So if they're going to hold a grudge, it would have went away before that. He's insanely talented, but Ang Lee, that was just such a fantastic movie. I mean, that's, people are just going to complain about anything, anytime, anyway. Mm-hmm.
And it was an amazing film. I liked how, like, when they were getting people off the stage, they started playing the music from Jaws.
Yeah.
And then it went into something from a Western, but I forget which Western it was.
That moment was so awkward with the Jaws, and he just kept talking. I love moments like that. I live for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was kind of hoping a shark would come onto the stage and eat the people, or there would be a trap door and the celebrity just go into a pit of alligators.
I think it was for sound mixing, though, so I don't think there was a single celebrity on that stage.
What happened with the two people who won the sound mixing awards both looked like each other?
I said the same thing. I'm like, who is who? They're both like Gandalf-y. They both looked like Gandalf.
There was a lot of long hair on the
men
tonight.
Those Europeans, like, they have that bleach long hair, you know?
I'm a sound editor, too, by training, and I don't look like that.
You might someday, though. Don't say that.
I don't think I could grow my hair long and
the men all had beards. You know, they were all
bearded.
Bradley Cooper, who was there with his mom. Moms are the new beards, by the way, in Hollywood. And
what do you mean by beards?
Hide your sexuality.
Oh.
Because Bradley Cooper's probably gay. Because straight men don't speak French.
Yeah, everybody's like tweeting to me on Twitter. It's like, if Bradley Cooper came out as gay, I'd be so unhappy and so... I love him so much.
What was your biggest tweet of the night?
Oh, I got a lot of trouble.
My favorite one was Adele singing Pie Fall, but you know she's just thinking about Pie Fall.
Okay, before we proceed with that, I just want to apologize to Katie because we got into a fight. Barbie6976X, and she's a listener of the show, and she was pissed off my tweet. And all I said was, Adele looks like Melissa McCarthy. And I posted a picture. Look at this photo and tell me if you think that's Adele or Melissa McCarthy.
Well, I don't want to upset Barbie 929X, so I might plead the fifth on this.
But seriously, look at that.
Yeah,
I mean,
from far away, I wouldn't really be.
Oh my god,
tell.
It's Adele.
And I'm posting this as a secondary image on the site. It's like, you know, Adele looked fantastic, but at the same time, that's Melissa McCarthy. They both dress exactly the same.
Do it right next to each other and say, separated at Weight Watchers.
And listen, it's separated, easy to make fat actress, fat celebrity jokes, but at the same time, if you are a large and in charge girl, two things you need to do. Don't wear clothes. Your costume, your dress needs to be form enhancing and not make it look like you're trying to disappear into the background, because both of them were wearing like gray and metallic tones and stuff, and the background was gray and metallic, and so they just kind of look like these ghosts, you know.
I thought Adele was a little better about getting to her form. I think she wore something that was a little more form-fitting and
slightly
Melissa McCarthy wore a poncho. Like, she just draped something over herself and just kind of carried it next to her. I mean, it was a little rough.
It was like she was wearing a curtain.
Yeah, she was wearing a Bed Bath & Beyond curtain.
Don't look at what's behind the curtain. And then it's, I think also too, they kind of do that hairstyle too, because, you know, they have a larger frame, so the hair, like when you're a drag queen, you got to have big hair, otherwise it looks like you have this little tiny head.
Did
on
you just
big
call
body.
Them drag queens?
Well, no, because like when you're a drag queens always wear big hair, because usually, you know, they're men, so if they just wear like a woman's size wig, it's not going to really
So you have to make the hair big in order to make the body look smaller.
Yes.
And so I think actually the hair strategy did work for Adele, but it didn't work for Melissa McCarthy.
Well, that's like Adele's thing. I think she's always kind of had big hair, but when you don't and then all of a sudden you do, you're like, all right, this stands out.
Something happened
to her. Something happened to you.
What happened? You changed your hair, Felicity. It's Felicity all over again. So Argo won for Best Oscar, for Best Film. How do you feel about that?
I thought, you know, I still feel like Tyler Perry got robbed.
You know what it is, though?
And Django Unchained was a really, really good film. Of all the movies that I worked really hard to see as much as I could of the movies. Some of them were so boring, I walked out of the movie theater and saw Django Unchained twice.
Which ones were so boring?
I don't know. I don't want to speak too negative on movies, but I just thought any film that has the N-word like 500 times is awesome.
I was really kind of hoping that Tarantino was going to actually say the N-word in his speech.
That wouldn't be... Okay.
They would have not allowed that.
No.
I would have thought it would
be. That wouldn't even have been like anything tasteful at all. That would have been terrible.
But still, it would have been something to talk about.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think with Argo... He wrote the screenplay.
I think with Argo, though, winning, it's the same kind of case with Hugo. Is like Hollywood, and the same thing with Crash, because we learned from the movie Crash is people in LA and Hollywood who vote on these things like movies about themselves. And Hugo was about like making film, and Argo was about like, you know, making a film. And it's just like, Hollywood saves the world. Let's give it an Oscar.
I definitely agree with you with Crash. Yeah. Although I did really love that movie. It was so relevant to all of them, and they probably fucking hate the LAPD.
Yeah.
So having all that happen in corruption, which obviously with all the news that's coming out with the LAPD, they were like, this is fantastic. And it just had the edge.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I had one of those guys on those hookup apps write to me, and he's like, I'm a police officer in Los Angeles. And I wrote, please don't shoot me. And he blocked me.
That's hot. Like, so that's the key to winning an Oscar, though, is just like do a movie about Hollywood, and they'll just be like, they'll suck it up.
Yeah.
Because they're narcissistic fucks.
Tomorrow's podcast is going to be how awesome Hollywood is. Not this show. Maybe that's why we haven't been cast anything. Because really, like, they'll just put anybody in a movie these days, you know?
Like, I think, like who?
Just anybody. I mean, it's like most of these people have no acting school training. It's like they're just, you know, I'm surprised they didn't have like.
Most of these people struggle for years.
Like Jessica Chastain has struggled for so long to get in that movie.
Well, they should have had the woman who sang in the Les Mis and the, God, I'm blanking out on her
Anne
name.
Anne Hathaway.
No, the viral star with the eyebrows.
Oh.
They should have stuck her in Les Mis.
You know what? Actually, Jennifer Lawrence is one of those people that just happened to show up in a movie. Her story is that she was in New York City watching like breakdancers, and somebody scouted her, and there's like, this girl apparently is like watching breakdancers really well, and she's pretty. So they kind of like recruited her out to get an agent and auditions, and then all of a sudden it was like boom, boom, boom. And she went from babysitting cousins to all of a sudden in like TV and Winner's Bone. So,
well, like you, she's very fuckable. So maybe you should stand around and look at breakdancers.
You know what? That's my next. I'm going to move to New York to watch breakdancers to get flown to LA. That's my plan.
Well, you do. You actually do like industrial work as a stand-in.
Yeah.
So like they're like, is it bother you sometimes though? That I mean, like, because you work really hard on your looks, you look great, and at the same time it's like you know, the people who are making the decisions don't necessarily get to see you. They it's the photographers, it's the technicians, you know.
Well, you never have to audition for stand-in stuff. My agent just calls me for it and is like, will you do this job? It's just strictly money. That's not really necessarily an opportunity as it is money. What anything that's an audition, then that's something where, you know, you want to be seen and you want to make a good impression.
And you go on auditions a lot here in Chicago?
Yeah, I was actually just about 2 or 3 a week.
Wow. Yeah, that's what Terry Garr said on the podcast. Is like, if you want to be a working actor in Hollywood, get used to enjoy auditions.
Your job, your job is the audition. The actual acting part, that's the fun part.
That's actually so true. And if you want to be a working actor, don't move to Chicago if you want to do film and television, because though we have it here, it's so scarce. And going on 2 or 3 auditions a week is nothing compared to people in LA that do 2 or 3 a day. Mm-hmm. So to definitely make it, you need to go where the people
The reason why most people move to Chicago is to pursue like theater, because they want to get like their theater legs, or to do like improv or comedy.
Or, of course, start a restaurant. Because I think Chicago's fantastic for food.
It's a good food place.
Alpana Singh, one of our past guests and former host of Check Please. Now they're actually doing a Check Please host search.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think you should apply for it.
That's what everybody's writing to me. I'm like, I don't even know how to go about doing that, but I'll call them.
What would be your bit on why you think you should be the host?
Because I was on their favorite guest, and there was their best like episode ever, and it was because of me. So
that's good enough.
I mean, it's like,
and he does cooking and drag videos.
What's not to love?
So why not?
So I don't know. Listen, I was a guest on one of their episodes. They liked it so much, they used me in the opening credits. So I thought, you know, the problem is that the one woman who did the casting that got me on the show, it doesn't work there anymore. And only the producer is still involved.
Yeah, but David, he was a real nice guy.
So, you know,
his wife was gorgeous.
Yeah, so I would love to do that show. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, I thought it was amazingly fun. And so, anybody listening, give me some pointers. I don't know what
kidding?
I'm doing.
They're all scrambling to get their applications out there, too.
That's a thing. It's like an audition. Basically, the audition for that show is basically eat some food and say funny things about it.
Mm-hmm. So,
it's just not, you know, an easy thing to do, to make jokes about a restaurant that doesn't insult the restaurant either, too.
Yeah, it's a fine line there.
Yeah.
Because you could piss some people off. One of my favorite things in the Oscars thing is who is when the salute to the dead, where they show all the dead people. But it's like they throw all these people in, and you're like, I don't even know who that person is.
Yeah, I think like, I saw Publicist, and I'm like, you know, what?
Yeah, it was kind of weird. But Ernest Borgnine, who won an Oscar for, I think it was for Charlie, and who most recently, like most memorable, he was on a talk show, and they're asking him like, how do you stay so young and vibrant? He's just like, I masturbate a lot.
Well, it didn't work so
did
well.
Did he whisper it? Did he whisper it?
He did.
It?
I think he said it and like it picked up. He didn't realize that it was on like the microphone or something. And he lived to like 80, 90 some years old. So
good for
it
him.
Worked.
That's great.
And he did it like, you know, so he's jerking off at the age of 80
I'm
going
to live to 150.
Yeah.
You're just don't, the rate that I masturbate.
Just don't rub it off. Just don't rub it off. And then Celeste Holm, who was in All About Eve, she played the best friend of not Eve, but
Betty Davis.
Betty Davis's character, yeah. Yes. And then Jack Klugman from The Odd Couple.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, I always assume Felix, his roommate, was kind of gay. I don't know if they were supposed to be a gay couple. They were divorcees, but...
I just want to do a shout out to Peaches Christ. I felt like she was robbed, too.
Of
just...
what? Being in the dead?
Sorry, I wanted to say that earlier. Just, but she didn't come out with a movie this year, did she?
No, she didn't.
She didn't. That's why she didn't get an
award.
Although
I was just written up in Boy Magazine, they did an interview with me, and so I listed one of my... Let me get it for you.
So poor
that.
Mark Felian.
Let me tell the story.
And he's like chomping at the bit because they were like, we want to do an interview with you and not Fausto, you know?
You're so coming later, they said.
They're not going to... I'm not doing it. And so anyways, so they interviewed Mark for this gay publication here in town, and they asked us for photos of Mark in the studio and during a
recording.
They
didn't say in the studio. They just said headshots. You know. Pictures.
Well, I usually assume that they want that, and so
nobody assumed that. I didn't assume that. If you assume that, why didn't we take a picture? And we could have sent them that.
Because I actually, if you look at the email, I actually did send them really nice, flattering recent photos, and so they sent a photo of Mark when he had a little extra poundage back in 2007.
This is from
2009.
This is from 2009. A picture 4 years ago. Look at that. I look like a blob.
Oh, you're just a big baby.
Oh no, you look
fine.
Good.
You look like Adele.
But it's like, why would they?
Got that Adele
stupid
glow.
I send them photos and they don't use these and they pick one that's old. I'm just like, whatever.
Skyfall, more like Piefall.
I know.
Oh,
so they ask.
See, it hurts now when it's going towards you, huh?
Oh, I don't care. Listen, I'm the one that said it, but I'm just kind of like, I wish there was a PDF or if this was something online or I could print out or I could share with people, but I can't. This is old media. This is a bar rag. So,
but listen, people who are looking for sex at 4 in the morning will look at this.
Will they? Who goes to a print ad?
Well, if you're sitting in a bar somewhere,
it's like,
drunk.
Oh, there's a number in the back of here. Let me call it with my Nokia.
Alcoholics will be really happy to know that you're a celebrity and you're famous and you're cute and for a plus size model, like
a plus size, you're Channing Tatum, swollen face. Yeah. Did you have a lot of salt before that photo? A little too much lobster.
There's fries. Our little rubber chicken in the background. There's a stapler in the background.
Oh well, God forbid, there's a little humor in it.
Yeah,
God, I'm just like,
do you think Mark's being a big crybaby about it?
You know
it?
What? I don't blame him. Whenever I see a photo of myself that I don't think is the best, especially if you've sent them a bunch, you're like, come on, guys.
Well, this wasn't even a photo I sent them.
Did they just Google you?
They Googled it and found it
they
somewhere.
They dug it out.
And they dug it up. Like,
Boy Magazine, and I say Boy Magazine because I think that's the way it's supposed to be pronounced. If it isn't, it's Boy Mag. It's, you know, not the best for flattering photos of people. I mean, look at the cover. Some guy's got, like, glitter on his face. Is that what it is?
I don't know.
I
but
mean,
you could actually, you could try real out for the model search. You could be on the next cover model, so there'll be some photo shoots.
Oh,
Rob,
well, that would be, you know,
be a model.
Be a great,
I would only do that for just the pure art of it, the performance art of being in Boy Magazine.
Do it.
I'll take some naked. I'll do nude photos.
I want to be
Rob
on a cloud, and I want you guys to put body glitter on me.
I can do that.
Yeah.
So they asked me, and I thought this was kind of ridiculous. Like, please name 5 of your LGBT heroes. I'm not like a hero worship kind of person. Like, I just
Mark hates
Bill Pratt.
So, but the first one I did was
Pritchard. Bill Bill Pritchard.
The first one I said was Abraham Lincoln. He freed the slaves, but you wouldn't know it if you've ever been to IML or spent a minute on Craigslist. I'm glad that more and more historians are finally coming to terms with the fact that our greatest president slept with men. And then I also named Peaches Christ. Are you listening, girl? I sent her a text on this.
Peaches.
She's at the intersection of two things that are near and dear to my heart, horror and drag. She's a frequent guest on our show. I got to push the show. So.
Well, you have to explain to the readers why the hell they're writing about you.
Yeah, and we love exploring so many different topics. Horror films that gay guys should see, gay serial killers, and we even did a whole show on smells where she read some smelly queens. Girls, Febreze is your friend.
So those are your two heroes.
Well, there's actually five. So I also
Let's read the other one. I'm kind of curious to hear the list.
Lady Bunny is so stupid that she's a genius. A lot of people don't realize that she's an incredible blogger and finds the most interesting things. Her humor is perfectly in tune with the immature 12-year-old that lives inside me. And then Fausto Fernos is my hero because he's my biggest champion. I couldn't ask for a better man, and hopefully soon we'll finally get married in Illinois.
And yeah, technically, we'll have a...
And then I also...
Rob, you want to be at our wedding?
Can I be the ring bearer?
You could be more than that.
Yes. You'll have to carry it in a very interesting place.
Oh, I don't know if
I'm just kidding.
And remember, there's two rings.
Mark and I will have a monogamous, traditional wedding.
In a church.
In a church. Just, a nice Jewish wedding.
Oh, how fun.
And then Christina Fox Bruce. I'm absolutely fascinated by this remarkable person who went from being a 230-pound professional male bodybuilder to a 200-pound female bodybuilder. She is such an inspiration for living her truth with an amazing spirit and sense of humor. I gotta send that to her too. I hope she likes it.
She'd be like, do you have some more caramel popcorn? Mm-hmm. I really think like what you sent me.
She did. Well, I think they also asked me if I had any words of wisdom to the next LGBT generation. And I think I said this on the show before too, but I'll say it again.
Hold on a second.
What?
Get ready to roll your eyes because this is going to sound real tired and cliche.
Uh-oh. Be who you are.
No. You hear a lot about the gay community being obsessed with youth and beauty, but one of the benefits of getting older is that there is an ever-increasing number of young and beautiful people to sleep with. The older I get, the more hot young chicken I can fuck. When you're 20, and I put in parentheses, or sleep with if you must, because I was like, you can take that out, but he didn't edit that out. I said, when you're 20, you can sleep, who can you sleep with that's younger, an 18-year-old? But when you're 40, a 30-year-old is chicken.
You know, I'm just beginning to realize that neither the editor, the layout artist, or the journalist actually read the answers you gave him. So if he actually does this, we're going to have the listeners of the show answer the questions for us and make them as raunchy and insane. But don't make it so they won't catch on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You got to hide it in there.
Squeeze
like
cunt in a word.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I did say, I said, seriously though, take care of your physical health and work on forming the best relationships you can have with the people around you. Happiness is something you work for. It doesn't happen by accident.
Are you a happy person?
I've worked for my happiness. Believe me, I have.
That's not an... Are you a happy person?
Yes, I'm a happy person.
I wish I were.
Aren't I? Don't I appear happy?
I'm just asking. That's all.
Yeah, although I'm really annoyed by that picture.
Oh.
I had like come fuck me pictures.
Oh, come on. 12 people read Boy Magazine.
I know, but still.
But you know, this will inspire you at the gym.
I'll be like, I want all those pictures taken offline. All of them. Starting.
Yeah, that didn't work for Beyonce. No.
Yeah,
but I can
take these off. Oh, okay.
Yeah, once you're on the internet, it's kind of
once you're
hard
there,
to do
it's
it,
always you know? There.
Do you like the photos I took of you, Rob?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That's
hot.
You do a little fun airbrushing that I really.
I don't actually do much airbrushing at all. It's the good lighting.
You know, that's
smooths
what it,
out your skin. Actually, what it does because it's diffuse.
Light.
It's really more the light than any kind of airbrushing that you can do, because the problem is if you airbrush somebody's face too much, then the texture's gone, and so they look like Barbie dolls.
Yeah.
And so it's technically much better if you start off with a good photo, which Rob, I actually studied photography at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago. That's my Amanda Lepore voice.
Oh, they all sound the same. Stewie from Family Guy.
Amanda Lepore, Seth MacFarlane. So a while back ago, we reported on Mao Sugiyama, who was the
That's good.
Performance
Sugiyama.
Artist who decided to invite a bunch of people to a performance piece and buffet where he'd cook food and serve them food and also serve them his penis because he'd identified as asexual. So he went, had his penis removed, and then had it frozen, and then he decided, I'm going to cook it. And so, like, four people supposedly ate it. Rob here's face is like, oh my God,
like,
I'm
dying. This is for real?
This is for real, yeah. This
did these people know they were eating his penis?
Yes, of course.
Oh my God.
They paid money to eat this performance artist who chopped off his penis, well, surgically had it removed.
And he removed his nipples too, I think.
And you know, wontoned them. He fried them and served them with a little duck sauce. And when people ate them, they went, that's good Sugiyama.
And so they were thinking about like pressing charges against him and like the people that ate it, but they like were reviewing the case and like there's just not enough evidence that there was really any real wrongdoing.
Well, you've worked at a restaurant
and
when
it was
you
really
have
it was a small crime.
Oh, nice. Well, if they knew they were eating it, what? Why were they so mad?
Well, no, they weren't mad.
You know when you worked in a restaurant and there's buyer's remorse? You know?
You get something, you're like, I didn't think it would taste like this.
That's why they wanted... Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were like, I wanted the duck.
Well, how about this? Don't eat fried penis. You know, like, don't eat cooked penis.
You've had worse things in your mouth.
You've had raw penis in your mouth.
Boys, come on, I'm blushing.
I saw your Grindr profile, hun, T. It was like, your legs were up in the air. Is that even legal? Honey. But seriously, I guess if somebody... So now they're setting up the legal precedent for somebody to sell their own body part for human consumption in Japan. So cannibalism now is legal in Japan.
There are so many things to eat. Like, come on, guys.
Whale blubber.
There are so many things to eat.
Whale meat, whale hearts, whale skin, fried whale skin. I mean, dolphin.
Anything.
I mean, this is just all sorts of things to eat in Japan.
Like, come on, you get one dick. Don't cut it off and feed it to four unimportant people.
There's an epidemic of rabies happening in China and Vietnam. This is just so awful.
What's happening?
There's an epidemic of rabies because the people are eating rabid dogs and cats and roadkill.
Really?
Yeah. And like almost like, I don't remember the exact figures, but it's a huge part of people with rabies have it because they were scooping up a dead cat or dog out of the road and
Just can't win.
Doesn't making like, it poo-poo doesn't like platter.
Cooking it do something to it? Or
oh,
is
they're
it,
not cooking that. If you're getting roadkill off the road that's rabid.
Of course you're going to have to cook it.
I seriously doubt they're cooking that.
You're just going to eat a raw roadkill.
Yeah, I mean, they sound homeless, these people.
No, that's just poor Asian people. They're eating dogs and cats and In
if you were poor, you'd eat cats too.
Do you think cooking something would kill the rabies?
That's what I'm guessing, but maybe not. You never know. It might have.
I'm not well versed in rabies.
Yeah, I don't really know. There was that one girl that got bit by a rat, and she got rabies. No, she got bit by a bat, and she got rabies, and they didn't know it. And she should have died, but she survived. And they said there was like a miracle that she didn't die. But I think she may have had some kind of brain damage or something like that. But I don't think it was like that super severe, but they were just amazed she lived.
In Sweden, they just had a raid in a dozen gyms. 70 cops raided a dozen gyms and arrested over 40 people because they deemed them too muscular under suspicion of steroid use. So unlike here in the United States, when if you actually look like a roided up monster gorilla, or even if you're a transgender person, switching from male to female or female to male, it's not illegal to have those drugs in your body without a doctor's prescription. It's illegal to possess them. But in Sweden, the laws are that if you actually are using them, you can go to jail. And so I guess the police are cracking down now on gyms and arresting people who look too muscular.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a compliment. Like, oh, they picked me today, you know?
Yeah. Why are you in prison for gun smuggling? Bam, bam.
Smuggling pythons over here.
These python thighs.
So, what's going to happen? I mean, are they going to test them? Or are they going to figure it out of whether they juice
it? I guess.
It or not?
And it's just such a waste of resources.
And the other thing is, though, too, is like people can do so many different things with their body. Why wouldn't they allow them to do that? But also, too, I think Sweden, I don't know if they've changed that rule, but they used to have a rule if you got transgender, if you were a man becoming a woman, they would make you, like, you couldn't keep your sperm, like, you couldn't keep it frozen or something. I know, yeah. Isn't that weird?
Why?
They were trying
to breed you out of the race or something.
Well, the government wouldn't pay for you to freeze your sperm, mm-hmm. technically. So that's a little bit confusing.
Well, then that makes sense. Why would they pay for everything else?
But see, their healthcare system is different than ours, and so a lot of their taxes go into the healthcare system. So a lot of people rely on government-supported healthcare in order to do things like save their sperm. So if the government says we can't save your sperm, then you're kind of, unless you're a very wealthy person, you're kind of shit out of luck. Mm-hmm. If you live in,
but it's so cold there. Couldn't they just put their sperm and like take it up to like the North Pole and they just put, you know?
I don't think that works that way.
I don't know if it's that cold in Sweden.
It's cold in Sweden. It's like ice up north. Sure, I think it's like a permafrost.
Yeah,
I don't. There's an amazing story about a Club Oz in Phoenix, Arizona, where this guy was in the bar and he was arguing with his girlfriend. I guess he was drunk. The bartender was like, I can't serve you anything. And so the guy left, and then he came back in and he was like wielding an axe at the bartender and like threatening people with it. And then the go-go dancer came up from behind him, the stripper probably. They call him a go-go dancer in the news, but I'm sure he probably takes it off. We'd call him a stripper. And then he jumped down and kind of like grabbed him by the neck, and then somebody else came up and hit him over the head with a pool cue and grabbed the axe.
Another Saturday night for me.
It kind of reminded me of the situation I was in. I was at a diner in my hometown of Erie, Pennsylvania, and we were out with some friends, and we were just sitting there eating. It was late at night, and this guy comes in, and he starts talking to us, and he asked us for money. And the weird thing is he had like one of those saws, that had, like the circular blade, a circular saw, and he was kind of like holding it and like asking me for money, and it's like inches away from my neck.
Like threatening you.
But like I don't know if I was drunk or what, but it didn't like really even faze me until like he just kind of like walked away, and then he went over to another table. It wasn't until I saw him with it like toward at other people that I was like, oh, that's really weird, because it was in a strange part of town, so you're used to seeing weirdos and derelicts and stuff. And then finally I was like to the waitress, I was like, that guy's got like this circular saw, and he's like looks like he's threatening people. So she told him he had to leave, and then he's like mad, and he's outside, and he's holding it up like he was like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I'm like, you should probably call the police if he's walking around with a circular saw.
But it wasn't plugged into anything.
I mean,
no,
yeah.
But it was like, it was a blade.
I feel like in my neighborhood, the homeless people who ask for money, if you don't give it to them, they just give you an insult. Like there's one lady who sits on a stoop, and I pass by her all the time. She's always like, you have any money? And whenever I say no, she's like, if I'm walking my dog, she'd say like, what a fucking ugly dog, like, oh. Yeah, she just, oh,
well,
he's
you
not
do
ugly.
Have a
he's,
French bulldog,
yeah. Oh, come, he's ugly,
but,
cute,
but they're cute, they're,
yeah,
adorable.
Yeah. But I was like, come on lady, that
I'll,
doesn't
I'll pet
me.
Sit your dog sometime.
So that's if you see a guy with a circular saw, keep an extension cord away from him. And everything will be fine. Don't let him near an elect. He's like one of those Spider-Man villains. They're like, keep him away from electricity. Otherwise, he'll do damage.
So in the UK, they're opening up. This woman raised like almost $200,000 from the general public to open up a cafe. And the main feature of the cafe is that they're going to have about 10 to 15 cats in the cafe. And people can come in and pet the cats.
Oh, I just can't wait for their advertising campaign.
Cat Fay.
No, it'd be like, come and play with our pussies.
And I guess they're also going to cover, like, have a cover charge to even come in the place, because they're afraid like the cats will get too stressed out if there's too many people in there.
Oh, really? So it's like an exclusive disco.
Yeah. And they're like, they'll also have like a time when there isn't a cover charge, so if people that like without a lot of money can come in and like take care of the cats. But I don't know. It's 10 to 15 cats living together in like one cafe. I'm not really that allergic to cats, but like that many cats, I feel like would drive me nuts.
Yeah, how big is this cafe? That's really important. Like if it's small, I mean, you get really close to being pretty depressed if there's a lot of cats. Like there's that fine line of like, oh, happy moments with cats to like depressing moments with cats. And that could be depressing.
Many. Yeah, it's kind of like this one gay guy in Kentucky who got fired. I think it was Kentucky or Tennessee, and he runs a llama farm. Mm. And he's managed to raise enough money to feed his animals, because I guess there's the state laws where he lives don't protect people to being fired for being gay. And he was working as a administrator for an elementary school, and he got a private elementary school, and he got so harassed so much that he finally got fired for just being gay, and then he sued the school, and the judge said, sorry, in our state, you can fire somebody for being gay. And so he took his story to the internet and people donated enough money. So they did all this photo block essay of his home. And he's kind of a handsome older gentleman and with lots of llamas and stuff. And then they show the inside of the house and it's all these cats. He's like a cat lady.
Oh, wow.
I worked in a bar and we had a cat named Jackson, and that cat lived in the bar for 12, 15 years. And eventually that bar closed and another one opened up and somebody took the cat home, and he lived like another 4 or 5 years. So he was an old man by the time he died, but people just loved that cat. But then other people were like freaked out. They're like, there's a cat in the bar. And like, yeah, his name's Jackson. He lives here. You have a cat living in a bar. Like, yeah. And with like, it would walk through the kitchen. I would never personally have a cat in like in a place where I serve food.
Yeah.
Because it's
illegal.
Technically illegal.
Yeah.
But just people, nobody cares.
My mom loves cats, and she always has 4 at any given time. And when one dies, she goes and gets another. But she never, growing up, I never had any of those kittens or anything really cute. She'd go into shelters, and she's really kind hearted, and she'd get the ones with problems. Like, one had 3 legs.
Are you adopted?
No, I don't think so. Oh, God. Yeah, so they would always have these problems. So I would always have the cats with, like, acne or UTIs. And aww. I never had any kittens. So maybe I'll go take a trip to the UK and hang out around those kittens. You know, get shat and pissed on. Sounds a lot
You're
of fun.
You're not going there. You're like,
this woman's taking the money and running.
You're actually going to like a circuit party for fun.
Yeah, I've never been to a circuit party because I don't do drugs.
Yeah.
Anonymous sex.
Yeah. And so I'm going to a party in Montreal that called Papa Party that this guy Eliad Cohen throws. And I'm really excited about it. I've never
been
to Canada.
You're doing this for fun. You're not doing this for work. You're doing this just...
No, this is just going to be a good time. It's Easter weekend, so I can get some like quick prayer in, you know, in between all of my E that I'm taking. and I'm really excited about it.
Wow, that'll be great. I don't know.
It'd be fun.
I would be so... I wouldn't be caught dead in those kind of things.
Well, why not?
I don't know, because I was just like...
You're kind of like a party pooper in that sense.
Well,
I'd go with you, Rob. We'd have a blast.
Oh, yeah.
We would. We'd have so much fun. We'd take our shirts off and dance.
Well, like, the whole theme is, like, swarthy, like hairy chests and, like... not like a stinky bear thing. It's, like, fit, muscular, like, Middle Eastern, like, all that kind of gorgeous kind of guy that is totally my type. So... Yeah, I think it'll be a fun weekend for me.
I think Rob's got a boner right now, if I was to.
Oh, whip it up. Oh, well, Yarg, mateys, Rob Anderson, it's so good to have you on the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much.
Am I turning you on?
That's your Irish accent. When's your show opening up?
My show opens next Thursday, the 7th, March 7th.
March 7th.
At I.O. at 8 o'clock.
The gay camp
it's
musical.
It's a gay to straight camp musical.
You know, they just had an episode on Criminal Minds on CBS. You can watch it online, the most recent thing, where this guy went to a gay to straight camp, and then he turned into a serial killer because it made him go crazy.
Oh my
goodness. And then at the end they shut down the camp. Like, it's so crazy and over the top, it's nuts. With part of the conversion therapy, they hire this hooker, and the boy has to like fuck him in front of his dad, and then he doesn't do it right because I think he's like, that's not where you put it, like he put it in the wrong hole or something, and then the dad rips him up, I'll show you how to do it, son, and then he fucks
this is not a thing.
This is the move. This is the TV show.
This is
Criminal Minds.
This is like the top rated show on television. Yes. Oh my God.
Don't give Rob any ideas, Mark.
I'm changing my musical. There's a song called Fuck Me Like Daddy Fucks Me.
You should totally reference, But I'm a Cheerleader in your show.
I don't reference it.
You should make one of them a heroin addict, like Natasha Lyonne.
I haven't seen it in a while.
Just make somebody a heroin addict.
I think that movie was about lesbians a lot.
Yes.
And I don't know much about them, so I steer away from that.
Well, I know this drag queen named Daphne Dumont, who would be a great, great appearance as a heroin addict.
The love interest was actually in Argo. She was one of the people trapped in Tehran.
She's a working actress.
Yeah, she gets a lot of work. And that's what happens when you don't do heroin, kids. You get jobs in Hollywood.
That's right. Just like Robert Downey Jr. Mm-hmm. And
he's sober now.
Jackson.
Samuel Jackson.
Samuel Jackson. They both kind of outed themselves as like drug addicts for 25 years.
What? And Melissa McCarthy.
What?
No, I made that up.
That's Adele. I confused the two. They look the same. Rob Anderson, it's always a pleasure having you. Remember, people, that Feast of Fun is made possible because of your financial support. If you haven't upgraded your Feast of Fun Plus account You naughty little devils. Go to feastoffun.com/plus and get your friends signed up. Sign them up.
Get signed up. Sign up yourself.
Yeah, and why should they sign up?
They should sign up so they get 5 fabulous shows a week. Otherwise, you only get the premium stuff.
Yeah, the free stuff.
The free stuff. Yes, yeah. That's what I mean.
Do the opposite of what Mark tells you to do.
Sign up today. Get your friends to sign up. Let the world know. Tweet it.
So what do you think about the Oscars? We do want to know so we can finally put to Oscar cast 2013 to bed. Do you feel that anybody was robbed or unjustly ignored? I feel like Tyler Perry was robbed. And certainly Anne Hathaway's haircut deserved its own Oscar. And certainly Hush Puppy should have gotten a little Oscar statue.
Yeah, they gave one to Shirley Temple. They could have given one to her.
Yeah, best child actress. Mm-hmm. And the only child actress this year. Well, except if you don't count Anne Hathaway.
Whatever.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.